Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions. With me, Yulalee Wickham-Ashby. And today, as we continue to celebrate and acknowledge International Day of Persons for Disabled People on December 3rd and Barbados' own independence on November 30th, I want to invite you to join me in the conversation with a para swimmer, a para athlete who has done Barbados proud. And I'm talking about Antoine Boyce Vaughan. Welcome to Visions, Antoine.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you for joining me on the program. So let's start, Antoine, by asking you to explain, how did you get involved in swimming?
I got introduced to swimming due to my prosthesis.
Mm-hmm.
The person who does my prosthetic, she told my mother about a coach who's looking for future Paralympic swimmers, and that's how I basically got introduced to it.
Okay, wonderful. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to know that, you know, it's not just people with disabilities telling other people with disabilities, but people mm-hmm. outside of the field. Now, Antoine, tell me a little mm-hmm. about yourself and growing up in Barbados with your disability.
I had osteosarcoma at age 17. I got my leg amputated, I think like a couple of months before my birthday. I guess growing up with having one leg doesn't really feel like it changed all that much. I guess I have some limitations since I don't have a leg, but since I have a prosthetic, I guess I gained past most of those limitations.
Okay. Now, you just said that you have or had osteosarcoma. Can you explain what this is?
Osteosarcoma is a bone cancer that mostly grows on long bones, like your jaw, your hip, your femur, or something, even your elbow, shoulder, or something, your knee.
Okay. And this then would have led to your having the amputation.
Yes.
So how would you say getting into the swimming has helped you? What were some of the high points of you being able to learn how to swim with just one leg?
I never really used to swim before, so I guess swimming in general actually put me in a better place to learn how to swim. I guess how to be a little more confident.
Okay. Did you find it difficult learning to swim?
Not really, because I knew some little bit of like swimming techniques, but I never really like knew how to swim when I had my leg. So I was just swimming with one leg. Wasn't really all that difficult.
Okay. All right. So you learn how to swim mm-hmm. and you, I wouldn't say perfected that, but you became better and more skilled with your swimming techniques.
Yes.
How then did this lead, or what was the path like for you to qualify now for Paralympics, the International Games?
I guess my path was just to get in some swimming time. And after I swam for like, I think 2 or 3 months, mm-hmm. I went to Texas to qualify. And after I qualified in Texas, I went to Japan to swim my first Paralympics.
Okay, so people hear Japan and immediately they have all thoughts of what Japan is like and pictures of images that they may have seen from television or movies or magazines. Now, going to Japan, yes, you had to qualify as a para swimmer. When you reached Japan, how different was it for you being at this international game now?
When I first went to Japan, I was a little bit excited and also nervous because it was my first event I ever done in swimming or in any event general. So mm-hmm. I was kind of nervous and excited. I also wanted to like explore Japan, but I couldn't really get a chance to do that mainly because we were in the middle of the pandemic.
Yes.
So I only got to swim in like limited spaces. But one of the places I went to was a school in Japan. It was really interesting how it looked. I didn't really get to meet too many Japanese locals, I would say. Mm-hmm. But it was a pretty good experience. I get to meet a few friends that I saw at classifications. I get to meet some new people, some new volunteers, and yeah, I got to at least explore a little bit of Japan, but not as much as I wanted to.
Okay, so walk me through your process there in terms of you had to go into heats, and then go into the final race, quarterfinals, semifinals. Walk me through that whole episode.
Honestly, can't really remember too much. I can't remember if I actually did a heat, but I know I did a 50-meter swim.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first 50-meter swim. So I guess I was a lot more quicker too, because I was also playing in training when I was in Japan. So I actually increased my speed from what it was when I was in Barbados training. So I guess that was good.
So what are some of your best times? Do you remember?
Let me see if I remember. My previous time, I think, was in the 40s. But then when I went to Paris, I think I increased it from the 40s to somewhere around the 30s.
Okay. All right. So now you've mentioned Paris. That's another international Paralympics you would have attended.
Oh, yes.
What was this experience like? Because now you were out of the pandemic. What was this like?
It was a lot different. It was a pretty cool experience to explore Paris. I went to the museum. Again, get to meet more of my friends that I saw last year in Japan. But the swimming, I would say that I did pretty well. I swam faster than I did in Japan. It was pretty good.
Okay. And what were the thoughts of your coach?
My coach was just mostly just trying to put me in the trainer and just telling me to do my best. If I did my personal best, again, that's good. If I didn't, I just have to put in more training. She just wanted me to do my best.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So, Antoine, you have participated in the Paralympics. What would you say to your peers, young people with disabilities? How would you encourage them to get involved with Paralympics?
I guess I would encourage them to get involved with Paralympics as to just do it. If someone comes with the offer with you to join Paralympics, you don't always have to just do swimming. There are other different sports you can do. There's badminton. I don't think we do cycling, but there is cycling you could do. I would say just get up and just do it. Don't worry about what other people are thinking. Don't worry about what people think about what you're doing. Just get up and just do the sport you want to do.
Okay. And what is your routine like? You know, your practice, your preparation for games?
Right now, my routine would be, I would swim every week for 3 days, 3 days a week. I would do like sprints, long distance some days. And then I guess if I have my other day, like Saturday, I would do like more longer swims with sprints in between. And just mostly just trying to swim as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mostly just going to the gym.
Okay. So in going to the gym, what do you do in the gym to help you with preparing for your swimming?
Mostly just weightlifting, like upper body training, back core and lower body, like legs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And what does this do for you?
Doing the upper body with a strength from my shoulders to make me like basically have more strength to pull through the water and also give me more stamina. Doing my core and my back would increase, basically make my core a lot more stronger so I could support myself in the water. And my legs would mostly just help me for kicking because I only have one leg. So the more strength I need, I will have to get specifically for that leg.
Okay. And what type of support team do you have working with you? Do you have like a physiotherapist, a medical doctor, coach? Yeah.
We don't have like a dedicated physiotherapist or a doctor, but sometimes when we're going overseas, we reach out to, I guess, the private individual, like private doctor's office and private physical therapist to come and assist us when we're going overseas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how do you stay motivated? Because I know as a person with a disability, not having the financial support to do a lot of what is required, how do you stay motivated?
Honestly, it doesn't really bother me. It's mostly just keep my head forward and just continue to do what I have to do. Because I know in the end, I'll end up being better than what it was last time. So for me, it's just continue to push forward.
Mm-hmm. And how does your family show support?
Anything I need help with, they will help me with. If I need to get to swimming and they don't have my vehicle, I would ask them and they would take me there. Stuff like that. They would assist me in any way they can.
Okay, wonderful. So Antoine, I should have asked at the beginning, how old are you?
25.
Okay. And are you currently employed?
Yes, at Stride Prosthetics.
Okay. And do you enjoy your job? Tell me a little about your work.
Yes, I enjoy my job. I am a prosthetic technician. Where I work, we manufacture prosthetics and fit them to patients.
Okay. And I think you might be finding this very rewarding, seeing that you're able to help persons like yourself who need a prosthetic leg or arm or a limb.
Yes.
Wonderful. So I have to salute Strides Prosthetic for the excellent work that they are doing and for demonstrating inclusiveness, because we're talking about inclusive employment and your boss is definitely showing that. So I say thank you to her.
Yeah.
All right. So what are some of the issues that you find are affecting or bothering persons with disabilities in Barbados, especially young people like yourself?
I would say so many things affect young people are mostly like, I would probably say probably embarrassment. People don't really like to show off that they have a prosthetic. They like to keep that hidden if they can. That's what I think it is. I ain't really sure all that much. Sometimes people are just afraid that people think negatively about them, or sometimes they have doubts about what they can or can't do because they don't have a limb.
Okay. So for you, Antoine, didn't you feel any measure of embarrassment as you were growing up without your leg?
No. Honestly, I was actually happy to lose my leg because it was just so much pain. Eventually, if it didn't get taken care of, it was going to take my life. So I was happy to lose my leg. And after I lost it, the only thing I kind of found annoying was people was just staring at me constantly. But eventually, I just got past it and realized people weren't staring at me because they were like, oh, what's wrong with here or whatever. It was mostly curious, like, how could someone so young lose a limb? So I guess throughout growing up with having one leg, it didn't really affect me all that much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you saw and realized that people were like staring at you, curious as to find out how such a young man has lost his leg, did you take that time to explain to them or did you just move along?
Normally I just move along. But if anyone comes and asks me a question, like how I lost my leg, I don't just walk away or tell them, leave me alone. I always tell them how I lost it, how long I didn't have a limb for. And I will also tell them like the process. I basically give them as much information as they want to hear.
Okay. And right now, as a young man, and we know that most young people are looking for a partner. You want to share what the experience has been like in terms of, did you find it easy? Were girls willing to explore having a long-term relationship with you?
I'm not really in a relationship right now. Mm-hmm. If I was going to get in one, I wouldn't really think that my, obviously, I guess some people would be turned off the fact that I have like one leg. But in reality, I don't really think that me having one leg would really hold me back in any way.
Okay, okay. So what's next for you? What direction are you thinking of heading in? Do you want to pursue further education? Where do you want to go with the swimming? Where do you want to go with your career? What's next?
I'm not really sure where I want to go with my career, but I guess in terms of like working, I would like to continue to work with Stride. I would also like to continue to swim. And I guess if there's any other option for me to do like any other things while I'm doing my work and swimming, I'll pursue that.
So are you eagerly looking forward to the Paralympics in the next 3 years?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Right. So walk us through again what you would need to do to qualify for the games in the US in the next 3 years.
To qualify is mostly just like doing as many competitions as possible so you could get my times in and show that I actually put in the work and give them a reason as to why I should continue to swim in the Paralympics games. I can't just become a swimmer, sit down and don't do anything. I have to at least put the work in.
Mm-hmm. And is it expensive to travel to these competitions?
No, it's not really expensive. I think it's mostly paid for.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have to any money at all. I guess if I wanted to go and buy stuff, I'll have to use my own money. But when it comes to flying to the US, flying overseas, and finding housing to go, it'll mostly be already paid for. But normally, we don't really have to pay for a hotel stay or anything like that, mainly because the Paralympics has like their own little village where you could go walk around, have food. If you want to also shop, you could shop around. Or if you want to leave the village and explore outside, you could go outside and explore.
Okay. So we want to say thank you to the Paralympics Association of Barbados and the Olympics Association as well for their contribution in facilitating our para athletes to travel out to the international games and participate, as well as other regional meets, because I know you've participated in the Commonwealth Games as well.
Yes, the Commonwealth Games, yeah.
I think that was in Santiago, Chile.
Yeah, it was in Santiago, Chile.
Mm-hmm. And again, how did you manage the language barrier?
I will say it wasn't honestly that hard because I had a coach, another coach there with us who spoke a little bit of Spanish. So inside the village, I guess most of all the important people would be speaking to, like the volunteers, spoke English. So it was no problem in the actual village. But once we leave the village, it becomes an issue. But since I have my coach who knows a little bit of Spanish, it wasn't all of that difficult. So when the locals ask us questions about what country we were from or anything like that, my coach would be able to like translate for us what they're saying and what we could say to them.
Okay. So let's go back, Antoine, to when you went to Japan and France to participate in those games. How did you feel carrying the Barbados flag? How did you feel knowing that you were there representing your country?
I was honored and also excited. The fact I was carrying the Barbados flag in the Paralympics in Japan. In Paris, it was also the same feeling. I was very excited. I was very also nervous, but it was a good experience.
Okay. So I want to say that I'm very proud of you as well, because I remember you as a teenager and being so shy and not as expressive as you are now. So I have to say I'm really proud of the growth I've seen in you. And I want to say thank you to your coaches and all the officials who have ensured that not only you, but other para athletes have had the opportunity to participate in several games regionally and internationally.
Thank you.
Have you been able to meet with any past para swimmers like David Taylor?
I didn't see David Taylor in a while. I was trying to get in contact with him, but I was so busy at like work and swimming that I didn't really get a chance to like call him in a while. I guess I could try to call him today, but normally sometimes I used to see him at the pool, but I don't really see him anymore. So I don't know if he's struggling with transportation or I'm not really sure what's going on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier that you drive.
Yeah.
How was that experience in terms of learning to drive? Because I know that some persons with disabilities do get some challenges from the officials. What was your experience like?
My experience was not difficult. I just had to go to the doctor to get like a, I guess, almost a prescription saying that I am able to drive. Mm-hmm. And I just had to take it to the license authority. They will overlook it. It was so okay. I did the test. I passed. And I just basically just did a bunch of driving in general, learning how to drive. It wasn't all that difficult, even though I was using the opposite foot to like press the accelerator. It wasn't all that difficult. It was relatively easy for me.
Okay. Did you ever consider like having the controls in the steering?
I was considering it, but at this point, I guess I'm good driving with the how the car is normally set up. That doesn't really bother me all that often.
All right. Great. And now that we're talking about driving as well, what are your feelings about the abuse of the parking spaces allocated for people with disabilities? Because we know that persons without disabilities sometimes park in those spaces and then get very offended when we remind them that they're dedicated for people with disabilities or persons who are transporting individuals with disabilities.
I guess for me it's kind of annoying because normally I don't really leave my house all that often. I mostly go to work, swimming, and back home. But when I'm out driving and I want to find a parking spot, it's kind of annoying to have to park like a good distance away to get to the supermarket or going to a store. So I would say it's mostly just annoying. I would like people to stop doing it, but I guess you have to put measures in place to stop them from doing it, but it's just mostly annoying.
Well, Antoine, I've said before, the law is there that persons who illegally park in those spaces can be fined. And I think that we should really take it more seriously and report those vehicles that are parked there if they don't have, you know, the parking ID hung up in their vehicles. Then take their license number and report them to the police.
I think they should.
Yes, I think we need to step on that.
Yeah.
All right. So, Antoine, as we get ready to wrap up the program, tell me a bit more about how do you see the future looking for para athletes, not just in swimming, but the other disciplines like badminton and archery and judo. What are your thoughts? How do you think it looks? What does the future look like for our para athletes in Barbados?
I guess the future for our para athletes in Barbados, I don't really know about all. I only know about my sport, swimming and badminton, but it looking pretty good because I guess we're not expanding as quickly as we want to. We're slowly expanding and slowly getting more athletes to join us in more sports and stuff like that.
Okay. And what would you say to encourage young persons like yourself? You're involved with the Paralympics Association of Barbados, but there are so many other young people with disabilities who are not involved in any disability organization. How would you encourage them, or what guidance would you give to them to become involved?
I could say that if it's a sport you like to do as a Paralympic athlete, you can do it. You just have to reach out to the Paralympic Association and they'll try, I guess, their best to put you in a sport or put you in your specific sport you want to be in.
Okay, nice. Well, Antoine, I want to say thank you so much for chatting with me today. And I know that you, with God's grace and health and strength, will be able to continue to push forward and bring home that gold medal. We're looking forward to being able to cheer you on and, you know, see that medal around your neck and celebrate that here. Barbados has done it yet again, a gold in the Paralympics. So thank you for chatting with me today.
You're welcome. Thank you, too, for chatting with me, too.
And all the success for the years coming.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Visions with me, Yudalee Wickham-Ashby, and my very special guest today, Antoine Boyce Vaughan, para swimmer, para athlete, represented Barbados in Japan and France and other regional meetings in his discipline of swimming. You can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300. You can email me visionsbarbados@gmail.com, and you can check this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website. So until next week, stay tuned and love yourself. Love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself. So, ciao!